Somebody's got notes here.
Okay, we are on record. Okay, good evening. This is a special meeting of the Clinton Township Planning Board.
Can you pull that microphone in front of you?
For Wednesday, February 21st, 2018. Can we all stand for the flag salute?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is the February 21st, 2018 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Roll call, Ms. Denise, would you please call?
Yes. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilduff?
Here.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Here.
Mr. Mardini?
Right now, he's obviously not here, but he's talking.
Yes, he is.
Oh, here he is.
By magic.
Say yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pepper?
Yes.
Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Sime.
Mr. Sime is going to be absent at an unexpected emergency family matter come up.
Okay. You want to take over? Are you ready to take over? Go ahead.
Throw you into the fire.
The next item on the agenda is the meeting minutes for August 6th, 2016. So does anyone have any comments on that?
Just one. There's a typo on the agenda. Those are the minutes for August 1st, 2016.
Make a motion as amended.
Second.
Actually, Mr. Pfeffer, you are not eligible.
I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but you were not eligible to vote on one of the applications that night.
Oh, okay.
So eligible members are Ms. Kleinhand, Mr. Margini, Mr. McTiernan, and Mr. Sime, who's not there.
Okay, make that motion.
I second it.
Okay, and Ms. Kleinhands?
Yes.
Mr. Margini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is, it's under new business, is the approval of vouchers. Has anybody have anything to say about the vouchers? And could I have a motion to approve them?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kilduff?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Mardini?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
And Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, the next item is the public hearing for EZ Energy NJ LLC, Block 70, Lot 13, site of the Hunterdon Wellness Center. The applicant is seeking minor site plan and variance approval for the installation and operation of a ground-mounted solar array to provide electricity to the existing on-site facility.
Hey, Sam, are you going to let her do this the whole night?
Or? Yeah, why not? She's doing a great job.
Okay.
Oh, good evening. Good evening, Vice Chair and Board members. My name is Julie Hirsch. I'm an attorney with Archer and Greiner. in Flemington. It's been a long time since I've been here, but there are a lot of familiar faces. I represent Easy Energy on this application to install a net metering solar facility at the Hunterton Health and Wellness Center on Route 31. I guess the first thing I ought to go through is I have provided an affidavit of service and publication for this hearing. I have a copy of it here in case we need to mark it as an exhibit.
Do you have the original? We have the original. It doesn't have to be separately marked.
Okay. So we've provided notice to property owners and published notice 10 days prior to this hearing.
Can you check the 200-foot list and the other notice list against the certified white card?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And all in order.
Okay. The applicant, Easy Energy, is the lessee from the Hunterton Medical Center, who is the owner of the Hunterton Health and Wellness Center. What is applied for here is minor site plan approval, because that is what your ordinance requires for solar facility installations on non-residential properties. Plus, there is one associated variance. I should say the ordinance section that we're going to be dealing with at various times during the night is 165-110B1. And then there's various subsections that are involved. The prior approvals on this property all involved the Hunterton Health and Wellness Center. That was an application that started originally before the zoning board because of a height variance that was needed for the building. It was approved with preliminary approval, and then the building and improvements were constructed, and then final approval was granted around 2008-2009. In the application package, you have a copy of the most recent resolution relative to the property, which was from the Board of Adjustment. It is resolution number 2009-03C. The only thing, I guess, of consequence to know about that approval is that the existing facility at Hunterton Wellness has two components, which together comprise about 88,000 square feet of building area in two stories. About half of the facility, more or less, is the wellness center, and the other half are medical offices for Hunterton Medical Center. There's also about 459 parking spaces on the site. There's a detention basin, lots of easements, some vegetated areas, septic systems. We'll go into the details of that later, but that's the existing condition of the property before the solar facility. Bless you.
Bless you.
We are looking for a C variance because the subsection of Ordinance 165-110B precludes the solar panels, contiguous solar panel areas to be greater than 400 square feet in size. Obviously, what's being proposed here is more than 400 square feet in size. So we need a variance for that. You will hear testimony later to explain the basis for that variance. Just to describe it to you before you hear the testimony, obviously, I'm an attorney. I don't provide evidence to the board, but I can tell you the significance of what you're going to hear from Mr. Hoffman, and that is that the existing Hunterton Wellness Center will require a solar facility around the size of what you're seeing there to meet its more or less most of its needs, current energy needs. That's number one. Number two is the location for that field is severely constrained by what already exists on the site. That is the riparian area along the stream, a conservation easement granted to Hunterton County to preserve that stream corridor in that same area, a detention basin, the fairly large parking fields, an access easement on the site, which provides access to the county facility next door, the septic systems. When you come right down to it, the field is located in the only location it could be located on the site, and there's not a quarter acre to spare. So that's essentially the case for the variance, the C1 criteria, which you're familiar with. Under the C2 criteria, it is our position that this use obviously serves the Section 2N purpose of the Municipal Land Use Law to provide renewable resource facilities. And Mr. Hoffman will deal with the buffering and other proposals to deal with the limited visual impact from the field. I guess the only other thing I should, I'm almost finished here. Just a little history on this application. It unfortunately started out in the Zoning Board of Adjustment back in October. In December, the board determined that the jurisdiction was with the Planning Board because it was only a C variance involved, not a D variance, as the applicant originally thought. So the application was refiled with the Planning Board, and I thank the board for hearing us tonight and putting a special meeting together so that we could get this moving. The last thing to tell you about is the Highlands. As you, of course, know, the Clinton Township has received compliance approval from the Highlands Council, and pursuant to that approval has adopted two ordinances. One ordinance requires, with certain exceptions, that any application that comes to the Planning Board or Zoning Board in Clinton Township be referred to the Highlands Council before it is determined complete. The second ordinance deals with exemptions that are provided for by the Highlands Act. If a project is determined to be exempt, then it does not need to be referred to the Highlands Council. And we have reviewed this with the zoning officer. We filed a formal exemption application, and the exemption has been granted by your zoning officer, and I have copies of that. I believe it was provided directly to the board.
Right.
I have copies
it was provided directly to the board. Can you just identify it for the record with the date?
Yes. It is dated, the date of submission is February 14th. It is application number 2-18, and at the last page, the review is by your zoning officer and dated February 20, 2018. Should we mark that, Mr. Drill?
If you want, but it's in the file.
It's in the file?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If board members are interested, I'd be glad to give you a copy.
Do you guys have it in your package?
We do.
We should.
Okay, so based on that determination, we are able to go forward with the application tonight. I believe some notice has been provided to the Highlands Council by Kathy Marcelli of the fact that the application has been determined complete, and we will be subject to a potential call-up by the Highlands Council, but we're hoping that won't occur given the subject of the application being renewable energy that we expect.
You answered your voice of...
I'm sorry.
It trailed off at the end.
I did, sorry. Which we expect they would support. Okay. All right. So my first witness tonight is Mr. Brown.
Yes, let's find who are all your witnesses?
I'm sorry, you should swear on both things.
Yes. So you have two witnesses.
Two. Yep.
And which of the board professionals are participating in this application? Okay, so board professionals who are participating, please stand up. Hey, can everyone raise their right hand and look at our board stenographer?
Your son is both testimony, but for this matter, to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but to be
said. I do.
Okay, starting over here, can you identify yourself, spell your last name, and then give your relationship to the applicant or the board as the case may be?
Kurt Hoffman, H-O-F-F-M-A-N. I am the engineer for the applicant.
Jim Brown. I'm the president of Easy Energy, New Jersey LLC. Brown,
B-R-O-W-N. Let's go right down. Jeff Keller, board environmental consultant.
Brian Bosenberg, board landscape architect.
Tom Behrens, board planner.
Okay. Those are the three board professionals that are participating.
Very good. Okay. So Mr. Brown is my first witness. Why don't you take this seat here so you get picked up by the mic?
Okay.
Is the handheld working?
Yes,
just so you know, so if you're going to get up, there's a handheld microphone. And just keep it with you if you're going over to an exhibit board or anything like that. Now, do you have any? Is that the only exhibit that you're going to mark, or do you have any others?
There's three pages.
There's three pages on that board.
Okay. So why don't we get A1 to A3 tagged right now?
Never seen orange exhibit tags. If you don't photocopy very well, I can tell you that. You can probably photocopy like your blanks.
I don't think
they're for Halloween. I'm running it out of range.
Ms. Hirsch, you can pick up the microphone. Mr. Brown can be picked up by the table mic.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Mardini.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the three tags and just ask you to put them in the lower right-hand corner of the three exhibits.
I know that you've already identified yourself, but just for the record, what is your position with Easy Energy?
I'm the president of Easy Energy, New Jersey, LLC.
And what services does your company provide?
We are a solar panel installation company, so we develop and install solar panel systems for schools, governments, commercial opportunities, nonprofits, and residential customers.
And what is your relationship with Hunterton Medical Center?
We were the bidder that proposed on their RFP for a solar system for their wellness center. We were the awarded vendor for that RFP that they issued to provide a new solar power system to basically run all the electric for the Hunterton Wellness Center.
Has a study been done to determine what size field, what number of solar panels would be required to meet the needs of the existing wellness center?
Yes, we had our engineers do a study and calculate what the usage was at the facility, how many panels would be needed to meet 100% of their usage, and that's what you see proposed on the exhibits. That size system will provide 100% of their usage for the facility.
Okay. Can you talk about the kilowatt size of the system?
Yes, it's about a 2-megawatt system. I think it's 2,024 megawatt system. That's KWDC. It'll generate approximately 2.6 megawatts of energy, which is basically their generation of what they use currently at the facility.
The 2.6 megawatts, is that AC or DC?
That is AC.
So it's 2 megawatts, approximately DC. 2 megawatts of DC and 2.6 megawatts of AC.
Okay, and you said, how did you determine what Hunterton Wellness Center would need?
We reviewed several years of their electric bills to find out their usage, you know, how much electricity they're actually using at the facility. Then we had our engineers design the system. We use a thing called National Renewable Energy Laboratories.
You're going to have to say that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We use a tool called the National Renewable Energy Laboratories PV Watts system to calculate what the system will generate based on the design that we did. That design then shows that it'll produce the 2.6 megawatts of energy.
The PV Watts thing is online, right?
It's an online tool provided by the federal government, the National Renewable Energy Laboratory.
I'm confused. How is a 2-megawatt DC system producing 2.6 megawatts of AC?
It's I may have misspoke. 2.6 megawatts of kilowatt hours. Kilowatt hours. It's
2.6.
I'm sorry. One more time. What is the actual number and units?
It's 2 megawatts, 2.024 megawatts DC.
Okay.
Generating approximately 2.6 megawatts.
Megawatt hours? Is that what the...
Yeah, megawatt hours.
Okay. Sorry. And that's per year? Or is that what is
per
that?
Year.
Okay.
Well, questions are fair on this, believe me. I'm glad you asked. Do you have a lease with Hunterdon Wellness Center for this facility?
The way these projects are built is, yes, there's a lease in place, but we are the builder of the system, so we install it. We have a financing company that finances the system. So we're just the contractor that installs it. So there's a lease in place between us and the financing company to lease the land for 20 years at the site.
And can that lease be renewed?
That lease can be renewed. There's two five-year extensions in the lease contract.
Okay. What would you expect the life of this system, assuming it's approved and installed, to be?
The warranty on the system is 25 years for the power that the system produces, so we expect the system to last at least 25 years. The contract term is 20 years, but the warranty on the major component, which is the solar panels, is 25-year power warranty. What that means is if the system, the panels ever stop producing less than what they should, they are automatically replaced by the manufacturer. That's what the 25-year power warranty means.
Okay, can you describe the basic components of the system?
Sure. The basic components of the system is a racking system. Basically, it's steel posts that go in the ground that hold the solar structure. Once those steel posts are in the ground and the frame is put on, then the solar panels are placed on the frame. Once those are installed, then inverters that convert the electricity from DC to AC to be able to be used in the facility, the inverters are installed to convert that electricity. Those are the three major components. You basically have racking, you have solar panels, and you have inverters to convert the electricity from DC to AC.
And there's no concrete footings for...
No concrete footings. The pilings are basically driven into the ground with a special machine to pile drive them into the ground.
And how long do you think it would take to construct this, the whole field from start to finish?
No more than 60 days once we're physically on site. It's a very fast process once we have all the permitting and everything completed.
Is there any maintenance involved with a facility like this?
Minor maintenance is involved with solar panel systems, really checking wires, checking to make sure there's no rodent infestations or anything like that, maintaining the grounds a little bit if there's anything disturbing the grass that we put underneath it, but very minimal maintenance, basically checking on the system, making sure it's operating properly.
Okay. I have nothing further for Mr. Brown. Board, anyone has any questions?
I just have a few quick questions. With regard to maintenance, how quickly can you respond to an issue? A township or somebody, in a neighboring development would notice something and call you up. Can you come the same day, or does it take a week? Or who responds and how do they respond for an emergency or a nuisance or a wildlife issue or something like that?
Sure. If it's an emergency situation, we would respond within hours. If it's just the maintenance type of thing, it would be within 24 hours.
As needed.
Yeah.
You mentioned, obviously, there's a racking system, the array, the solar panels themselves. Are the inverters also located in the enclosure, or are they located?
Yes.
So is there any equipment located outside of the enclosure?
I'm trying to think if there's anything outside the actual fences. Not really. Everything's inside the fences.
Okay.
The fire marshal asked for some LED lighting at the gates to the entrance to the facility. That's the only equipment that will be outside. There is a interconnection from the solar system to the existing interconnection for the facility. So there is minor equipment at the existing interface point for the electrical system. Nothing outside the actual existing system that's there.
Okay.
So virtually there's no equipment outside.
Are these mini inverters on the back of the panels, or are these big inverters that are on some sort of equipment pad?
These are mini inverters, but not the ones you think of on the back of the solar panels. These are called string inverters. They're basically the size of I don't know what you call it, bread basket. There's many of them. There's 25 of them, and they actually get installed on the outside perimeter of the solar array, so they're easily accessible by...
So they're installed on the racking.
Correct, correct.
You mentioned there are a few access points to the enclosure. I know there's one marked on the plan. Maybe I haven't seen the others, but how many are proposed and where are they?
We have met with the fire officials and talked about making more access points available. There will be at least two access points that I'm familiar with.
I think Mr. Hoffman will be able to give you a good and complete answer on that because he's been dealing with the fire marshal.
Sure, and I understand that too. So just one more question for you. In terms of the usage, you mentioned that you're providing about 100% of the facility's power needs. Are you providing any power in excess of that will be
go to the grid
and being used off-site?
No. The electric companies now have regulations in place that you cannot produce more than what the current usage is. So we cannot export
off. At all?
Well, the way the net metering rules work is sometime during the year you may overproduce, but other times of the year you may underproduce. It's supposed to net out to be zero at the end of the year.
It's minimal, if
right.
at all.
It's very, very minimal.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding the maintenance. You had spoken, maybe this is for Mr. Hoffman, but normally for your other facilities, you have a low-growing grass here. So what underneath the panels and things, do you string trim that? Do you mow that once a year? Or what's your policy for that? And
I'll let Kurt address that because it's very minimal maintenance because of the low growth grass. Roughly nothing has to be done. But
okay, so we'll ask Mr. Hoffman that. I have no further questions.
Is there any concern from the string inverters that there's going to be a squeal or like the high frequency?
I can't hear you.
Is there a concern with the at all with the string inverters that you'll get like a high frequency squeal that you get sometimes from inverters or other like voltage conversion devices?
New modern string inverters produce no sound at all, no perceptible sound. So no, there will be no squeals or noises of any kind.
Can you pull your microphone so you can make some more noise over there?
I did have one more question with regards to the lease terms. You mentioned that it's a 20-year lease. At the end of 20 years, say you're out of the picture, the wellness center relocates, who's responsible for removing the panels if they're not utilized in the future?
Sure. The lease and the terms of the power purchase agreement is that our financing firm has to pay for the removal. I'm sorry. At the end of the term, the leasing company, the financing company, has to pay for the removal and restoration of the ground to its original state. So that's in the lease and PPA agreement.
Is the lease with the current operator of the building, or does it carry with the land if another operator comes in?
I'm not sure of that exact term, but it's with the current 100 Wellness Center. So I believe my understanding of the lease is that if somebody else takes over that property, the lease continues for the 20-year term.
Thank you.
No more questions from us?
No questions.
Public? No more board questions?
Is there anybody in the public that has any questions for this witness?
Lori Dining, Environmental Commission Chair. I have not read this. This is the first I've heard of this. But I do have some concerns after reading Ms. Marcelli and Dr. Keller's and Mr. Behrens that this is on a steep slope.
Can you make these in terms of questions? This is questions now, not comments.
Okay.
And also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we do have an engineer who can
deal with all the environmental concerns. This gentleman is the operator of the facility. He wouldn't be
wait till then.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions from the public for the solar array engineer?
For Mr. Brown?
Mr. Brown?
No.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Hoffman. For the board, please, your name, address, and your credentials.
So, Kurt Hoffman. I'm from Kurt Hoffman Engineering. Kurt Hoffman Engineering, licensed engineer here in the state of New Jersey. My address, the business address, P.O. Box 149.
Nice. Slow and as take that table mic and pull it closer to you.
Oh, I thought it was that. Asbury, New Jersey, 08802.
Okay, and your credentials, please, for the record.
Licensed engineer here in the state of New Jersey for 15 years. Been before many numerous boards, site plan subdivision. I do on-site septic systems. I've seen a few of the people here. Been before that board many, many times.
The plans that were site plans that were submitted to the board, were they prepared by you or under your supervision?
They were prepared by me.
Okay. And the exhibits that we have up on the board, A1 through A3, were they prepared by you?
All by me.
All right. Let's start with environmental constraints. Could you tell us whether there are any environmental constraints as defined in the Clinton Township Ordinance within the solar field area?
Well, within the ordinance of the township, there is nothing within the array lease area and the proposed array. There is on the site, but not within our proposed area.
Okay, so in terms of steep slopes, the ordinance permits a certain amount of disturbance within different categories of steep slopes. Have you evaluated the extent of disturbance within those categories?
I did. I provided the board, the town, a steep slope plan, which indicated the areas of slopes between 0 and 15, 15 to 25, and 25 and greater. The town allows a 15% disturbance of slopes in the range of 15 to 25%. We are planning overall to disturb 13.4% of those maximal allowable slopes.
Okay, so that's within the 15%?
Yes, it is.
All right. Can you discuss just briefly, maybe using A1, the existing site improvements?
Okay, so I'm going to stand up for this.
So this is Exhibit 1A, which for the application is page 2 of 9 of the site plan that was submitted to the town. The dark, heavy line indicates the outer boundary of the existing site. The other heavy line you see inside that outer heavy line with the yellow highlight is what we're proposing as the solar array. The areas of constraint would be the access was alluded to earlier by Julia, the access to the county property, which is located here. The orange is their easement of access to this property in the back. We have the stream with a conservation easement and riparian buffer, which is highlighted in green, to the north of the property. The blue indicates the existing detention basin that's on the site and the outlet to that out to the stream. I did not highlight it, but the rest of it here is the existing parking and then the facility itself, the building that's on the site currently. And here, the existing septic systems which feed, are used from the existing facility.
Okay, you identified the detention basin also?
I did. The basin is in blue.
And that is an existing facility? Is that
it right? Absolutely is installed.
Okay. Could you discuss, please, the solar field and layout?
Okay, the solar field on this property, again,
is here highlighted, outer highlight in yellow, solar field obviously facing south. North being to the top of the page, south being the bottom of the page, east-west, sun comes up in the east, sets in the west, it comes across our array. Our array starts more or less at the top of the elevation alongside the existing facility, and is almost like stadium seating is the best way to describe it. It falls off going out toward the back of Route 31. This will be Route 31 here, and it loops around. So we're facing more of that direction. This is Gray Rock Road to give you some perception as far as where we're located. So Gray Rock and residents would be on the back side. So Gray Rock Road and residents being on the back side of the facility. Our array being here facing the south, panels facing the south, and out towards Route 31.
Mr. Hoffman, just to, it's difficult, I think, for someone that hasn't been to the site. Can you explain the relationship of the solar array to the surrounding properties in terms of elevation? Because I think the plan doesn't completely easily show that, and I think it'd be very helpful for the board to understand that.
So the array, more or less, I think we would agree, more or less is at an elevation of the uppermost residents on Gray Rock Road here. As you come down Gray Rock Road, there's a bit of a dip in the road. These residents are somewhat below where the array is proposed to be. The array then, like I had said, mentioned before, is more stadium type, where it drops off going out to the south, the high point being the back, and the houses and residential being to the north and northwest of the array.
I was also thinking in relationship, because you mentioned Route 31 and the slope to that. So I think just in relationship to Route 31, is it lower? Is it higher?
In relation to, I can pull a number right off here. So Route 31 is elevation more or less 260, 270. Our site, I believe, is around 240, 250, to give you an elevation.
Thank you.
So it varies between 240 and 250.
It could dip down and comes back up. So, yes, the low part being in here, again, sloping down and then going back up.
Okay. Is there a fence, gates, any other improvements that haven't been mentioned by Mr. Brown?
Yes. So encompassing the entire array is a 6-foot chain link fence. To answer one of the questions earlier, there will be 3 total openings to the fence. Currently on the plan, there is only 1. After conversations with the fire marshal, we had come to an agreement to add 2 more.
Is that reflected in any of the paperwork, or are you just saying that that's a condition that you're suggesting be imposed?
Exactly right. And we're going to, I think, get to that when we get to his letter as well.
Okay.
So the existing entrance on the plan, shown on the plan, is here. Heard a conversation with the fire marshal. We had suggested an additional entrance to the northwest corner and the south, almost the most southerly corner here. Reason being, if I can extrapolate on that, as part of his request, and I think it was in your letter as well, about breaking up the array. We had agreed to him, and again, for Mr. Drill, to be a potential condition, to add an opening north-south, right down the middle of the array, 10 feet wide. The array allows 10 feet of spacing from the nearest panel to the fence edge, allowing a brush truck, a fire truck, to get around, circulate around the site. He asked that we add this so that we're basically breaking into 2 areas, and he could split the array in half for circulation and access for fire. And this entrance that I had mentioned here would give him access to that central 10-foot wide alley.
And Mr. Hoffman, did you have an email exchange with Fire Marshal Milne today? I have copies.
Okay.
And I wonder if you could just identify this as that email exchange, and we'll have it marked.
Thank you. So, yes, I had a conversation with Mr. Stephen Moline, and basically the gist of that was discussing his letter, and the outcome of that was the agreement that the 10-foot-wide clearance through the entire site, north-south, would meet his requirements.
You're holding an email. Do you want to mark as Exhibit A4?
Yes, let's make it A4, and I have copies for you.
Can you just identify this email for the board?
Yes, well, the email has my name at the top. It is an email exchange between Mr. Hoffman and Fire Marshal Milne. Today's date, around middle day.
Okay, so today's date is 2/21.
2/21 it would be.
Okay, so let's get a tag for that, A4. And if you could hand them out, and let me just go back and ask you one question. When you have agreed that you're going to basically create a 10-foot-wide path between the panel fields, the two fields.
A separation between the two, yes.
Are you going to eliminate those panels, or are you going to find a place to replace them?
They'll be eliminated.
They'll be eliminated.
I have a quick question. I think with your correspondence with the fire marshal, he discussed extending the gravel access road.
In his letter, he had asked for that, but for our conversation and for his correspondence, we agreed that that is not necessary.
It's not
as long as he had access to the building.
Okay. So there will be no excess impervious coverage that needs to be accounted for?
No, sir.
All right. This would be a good time, I think, to discuss the various review reports that we have from the board consultants. And we'll start with Mr. Bryan's report. We're not going to mark those reports, right?
They're already in the
record. Okay. All right. So starting with Mr. Bryan's February 14 memorandum to the board. Items. It appears that most of the comments either indicate that what's proposed is acceptable or asks for some explanation about, for example, access. That might be a good one to talk about too.
Right.
My major concerns were access, buffering, and screening, and impacts to environmental constraints, which I think these gentlemen will probably have some questions
about. You've got to do that again.
forgive me. So, the applicant has so far addressed the majority of my concerns, which included access, impacts to environmental constraints, and buffering and screening, which I think are some issues we'll probably get into.
Exactly right. Yeah, I think, like you said, number one in your letter, which was access, which we just discussed, the three openings, and then the circulation throughout the site, and that alludes to your number six, which were the openings in the fence as well. And then 7 and 8, we'll probably defer to Brian.
Yes.
Regarding that. Okay. Thank you.
We're done with Tom Barron's February 14th report. February 12th construction office memo says they have no objections, nothing to discuss with that. Kathy Marcelli's report dated February 14th was a completeness report, no longer relevant. So you're left with two reports, correct? You have the Bureau of Fire Safety dated February 17th, and you have Brian Bosenberg February 20th.
And Mr. Keller's.
And Mr. Keller's dated.
Okay.
Dated
20th,
February 20th. So, since you started kind of on the fire,
exactly.
Aren't you?
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Hoffman, can you go through all the comments? Rather than go through all the comments, why don't you just discuss any which the applicant is not able or has a concern about complying with?
No.
So if you don't mention it, that means that
it's going to be
agreeable, it will be a condition.
Right.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to say that at each one. So number one, we agree to. Number two, we agree to. Number three.
Oh, whoa, listen.
Sorry.
If you don't.
Yes. I'm with you.
If you agree to it, don't mention it.
Okay.
Because then we don't have to worry about you going too fast. If you don't agree or you want to discuss it, say the comment number and then talk about it.
Okay.
Sorry. Number three. Emergency access road proposed stone and gravel area shall be continuously maintained and shall be capable of withholding township fire apparatus. We discussed that today. He was happy with the access location that I had suggested and the 10-foot aisleway to allow brush trucks in there.
So what you're saying is that the email that we just entered into evidence is A4
address.
Is the condition that would satisfy item 3, so I should cross out item 3 and put in my notes C, exhibit A4, correct?
Perfect. Item 8, C, exhibit A4. Item 9, C, exhibit A4. That is all.
Okay.
Mr. Bozenberg's memo?
So Mr. Bozenberg's memo dated February 20th, 2018. He has three comments. And just to the comments, number one, we met on the site, we walked, we looked at the limits. The existing trees to be removed need to be indicated on the plan. We agree to that. Number two, while we were at the same meeting on the site, we circulated around the site, drove around the site, looked at various aspects of visual buffering that would be potentially needed, discussed that, and believe we have come to an agreement that the northerly side of the array will be buffered to meet the 60% greenery. And as to the buffer that is on the plan, technically does not need to be on the plan because it is buffering our own facility. That buffer will change or morph into a potential replanting area for trees that will be removed on the site.
Let me say it a little bit differently. Right. Where a buffer is required by ordinance, any trees you plant in the buffer, you're not allowed to count towards your replacement trees. Right. Those are two independent counts. Right. But this is not a required buffer. It's something that the applicant put to kind of shield their parking area. And since it's not a required buffer, there isn't any concept of double counting, so it can be any of the trees planted in that area. If you could just show where it is.
Before he does that, Brian, do you agree with what he just said?
Yes. In my review memo, I misidentified what the buffer was from an ordinance standpoint, but then after speaking with Mr. Hoffman today, I agree with him that that would be one of the good places to start our reforestation work.
So at some point, I'm going to ask you to write out that condition unless you want to order this transcript for me.
I'll be glad to take a shot at it now. Talk to Mr. Bozenberg about it and get him to agree to the.
Well, no, I'm talking about. I want
right now. Oh,
yeah, right. Before the end of the night, I want someone to either write the condition or order the transcript.
Yep.
Because I know I'm going to blow it. I mean, I understand what he said, but I know it's not going to come out on paper. You know how it's supposed to be if there's an approval.
I think that Ms. Hirsch and I can provide you with the written paragraph that you need for this.
I think there was a question as far as where that was located. So I am referring to A2, which is sheet 4 of 9 of the site plan. The array being here, existing parking area here. We have previously proposed a buffer between the two. This buffer for this condition will be replanting it.
Mr. Hoffman, while you're at exhibit, I believe it is A2.
Yes, sir.
Would you please show the board and the public where the additional evergreen buffer will be added to supplement the existing buffer.
Sure. So that would be to the north side of the array. I've highlighted that in green.
And I did say
show where the additional greenery would be.
Because the way that buffer ordinance reads that the applicant must provide evergreen screening to a 60% between November and April. There's already a wide, decent woodland there, but there's no evergreen component. So the applicant has agreed to plant it by the array, and because of the sunlight, we think this is the best place for that, and I think that satisfies the needs of that. They meet that condition if they agree to plant that buffer. Mr. Hoffman, I think it also would be, you agree at this time, to show the board and the public where the rest of the reforestation is, because at this point, we don't know precisely the number of trees to be removed, but I think you and I agree, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but I believe based on our extensive site visit that there are a number of areas that we could accommodate any tree replacement for this project.
And I think, yes. So for the board, the areas in pink are the areas that Brian and I, for our site meeting, had discussed potential areas for the tree replanting. The old access to the site, areas to closest to Route 31, nearest the existing parking area in both spots. And later on in conversations, Mr. Keller's letter had come in, and we also discussed an area to the north, where the additional evergreen plantings would take place, which can incorporate some of his plantings as well as far as the reforestation. And that would take place not only just adjacent to, but there's been discussion of around the existing detention facility as well.
And so, Mr. Hoffman, just to bring the buffer issue to closure here, you alluded that you and I traveled around, but actually we got in the car and we drove out of the site to the north and went up towards High Ridge and made the right turn on Gray Rock Road and spent a considerable amount of time stopping along the highway looking between the homes, because I was very concerned that you could see through the dense woodland that array, and you're going to see some of it. It's partially screened. So we drove down around, and then we made a right turn I can't remember the name of the street, but there's a right turn that brings us behind the site, which is a far distance from this. And we looked at all that, and in my opinion, you can't see any of this site because of topography and the existing vegetation from these rear properties. So, Mr. Hoffman, would you concur that that is
100% agree.
Would your agreement too? Okay.
Brian, is that statement with the inclusion of the evergreens or today?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understand.
You're saying the residents or from the road, you'd not be able to see the array due to the foliage with the evergreens as opposed
with the
to
evergreens. Current. With the evergreens.
So the evergreens intent is to block the views for the residents.
Yes, and the plus of that is what makes us even a little more palatable is that the solar arrays are facing the other direction. So what we're really screening is the racking. We're not screening the face of the arrays. That's why I asked Mr. Hoffman the question about can you see this from Route 31 and the change in topography, because I was concerned about the reflective quality and the view of that. And if you go behind Odd Lot and Planet Fitness, and if you stand there and look over the edge, you can see bits and pieces of this thing, but it's pretty buried in the existing woodland down there, and it is down in the ground. So in my opinion, from the surrounding roadways, with the exception of that bit of gray rock, if they had that buffer, we should be fairly well screened and meet the intent of the ordinance.
Just to kind of summarize what you've been hearing, the applicant did not complete an evaluation in the field and identify all of the trees over six-inch DBH that will be removed for the field. So what we're asking the board to do, if this is acceptable, is to have the applicant do that, assuming an approval is acceptable. As a condition of approval, subject to the full review and approval of Mr. Bosenberg, and a reforestation replanting plan to be prepared showing the replacement trees in the areas that have been described to you tonight, in full compliance with the township ordinance requirements for replacement plans. Again, all subject to approval by Mr. Bozenberg. And obviously that planning wouldn't be done until the spring, assuming the facility goes forward, but we would certainly accept a reasonable time limit on both evaluating the number of trees that need to be taken out and the number of trees that are needed to be replaced and coming up with an adequate plan.
Ms. Hertz, if I could just... So, if there's an approval, I'm going to ask, again, Brian, to come up with language for this condition. What I have in my notes right now, just so you know where at least I'm coming from, comment A1 is easy. I got the condition. Comments A2 and 3, that's language that's going to be supplied by Mr. Bozenberg. You can work with whoever you want, Ms. Hirsch, whoever. And then comments B, and then small A, B, C, D, is again, going to be Mr. Bozenberg giving me language for that. I understand what's being said, but it just, for whatever reason tonight, it's not going to the hand.
I will provide you with the appropriate language, Mr. Drill. Madam Chair, I was just going to, just to bring a little more clarity to this tree removal issue, I think it would be helpful for Mr. Hoffman to describe the character of this site as it exists now and talk about how much of it is the type of vegetation. I'm trying to put words in his mouth, but there's a big component of scrubby invasive vegetation, and towards the south, towards the east, where it slopes off a little bit, is where some of the successional forest has been. So, Mr. Hoffman, can you sort of talk about an area, the site that you're doing is X acres and the trees we're removing are X acres?
Sure. So, as you see, and I'll get up and point again.
So you're looking at A1.
A1 again. The array here, there is about that much of it, two-thirds of it, is basically meadow at this point.
Or invasive?
Or, well, not exactly 100%, because what we had the surveyor locate should have been the edge of that invasive. Agree, disagree?
It was pretty shrubby out there when we walked out there. I mean, it's a mix of a little bit of every invasive thing you can possibly have out there right now.
Which a major component of that is Russian olive, which is an invasive species which would be removed. And as Brian had alluded to, as the topography drops off, this edge does become the quote-unquote wooded area where the majority of the mature wooded trees will be removed to accommodate the array. These trees that will be removed in this area here have to be counted, have to be accounted for, as we discussed. They have to be outlined, located on the map, count put together. With that count, come up with a plan on how many trees need to be replaced. What we were saying is that those trees would take place here, 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 here.
Okay, and the here, 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 and here is pink, and pink.
Yeah, as long as we have enough room to do that in those highlighted pink areas.
And what happens if you don't have enough room
then
in the pink area?
Then we work out with Mr. Rosenberg to come up with other areas on the property to meet that count. Obviously, I think we all know we can't meet that count. We can't come to an agreement. We're back in front of this board, and we're doing this all over again.
So, Mr. Hoffman, in terms of acreage, would you say that what's the total acreage of the solar array?
6 and change. And within the wooded area, I did a quick number for Ms. Hirsch, and that was two and a half acres of scrub brush / woods.
Are there trees being removed outside of the immediate field in order to remove shading on the panels?
No, sir.
Are there trees that are shading the panels?
Will there potentially be? We think not. Is there potentially? Potentially. The lay of the land, again, is such that it goes up. Panels are then going to be higher. Trees, obviously, with the canopy, makes sense when you'd be above the shade.
Okay.